Oh, we're on the air. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to the Banff Podcast. As Walt is waking up, we are here today to talk about Now, which is the new game from Ian Publishing, and Mike Mylar is here to talk to us about that. How are you doing, Mike?
I am excellent. How are you all this morning?
All right.
Afternoon. Day.
Day, indeed. And rounding out the panel, we have Aid Smith. How are you doing, Aid?
I'm good, thank you.
And Aid is a frequent RPG contributor to Green Ronin and Modiphius Press, as well as Fainting Goat. And Walt Rebilliard is here as well. How you doing, Walt?
Hola.
And Walt is sort of the godfather of the Supers role-playing game, as well as being a contributor to lots and lots of others. So welcome. So, Mike, tell us what Now is.
Now is, think of your favorite like action movies. Or the A-Team or Bond, and that's what Now is. It's meant to be an explosive play experience. So, like, it's not about the nuances that you might get into in a regular modern RPG. It's about the fights on the tops of trains and, you know, exploding helicopters and people punching through walls and stuff like that.
Is this the game if I want to play Die Hard?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff in here is directly inspired by pop culture like that. I was so happy that they kept my one chapter title A Fistful of Chi, because like that's Now in a sentence.
Okay. Now here at the Banff Podcast, we're ostensibly focused on Supers RPGs, and I'm looking through the book over the last week. It seems like you could mount a pretty decent X-Men campaign using this system.
I mean, so if you played with the power levels, I'd say you could go even further than that. Like, really? There's definitely the rules in here to make yourself Spider-Man if you really wanted to.
Oh, okay, cool. Now, I'm guessing that was you guys don't really have settings in the book, but you kind of have sort of suggested settings, you know, with the powers and whatnot. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So Now is the middle part of three different RPGs. One is called Old, mm-hmm. and that covers, you know, medieval fantasy and magic. One is called New, and that's like future and psionics and space. And then Now is the stuff in the middle. So the idea is that you could take Old and mix it with Now to make something like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Or you could take it and mix Now with New and get something like Cowboy Bebop.
Okay. Now, as we were talking about before the podcast, this is sort of the house system for Ian Publishing. This is, for instance, the system for Judge Dredd.
Yes. He ran a Kickstarter for this. He originally was just running it for Old and New, and he got somewhere around like $80,000, and he tweeted like, "Hey, does anybody have an idea for stretch goals?" And I was like, "Yes, now!" And I wrote a table of contents very quickly, and he dug it. So then I wrote all this connecting information for the team.
Oh, sweet, sweet. So if we were talking about Judge Dredd, Stallone is really the definitive Dredd, right?
I agree with that sentiment. I love that movie. I thought it was great.
My head.
Not everything in it was great, but if you're in the 90s, was there a better superhero movie than Judge Dredd? Like, really?
When did the first Blade come out?
Oh, that came out in the 90s. That was 99. The first Blade wasn't bad, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have to say that would be the definitive, either that or anything with Molly Ringwald.
And it was definitely the best role I've ever seen Rob Schneider play.
Well, shit. Yeah, okay. I can't argue with that.
He was the robot, right?
It's the low bar.
He was Fergie in the Dredd movie.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Sorry, yeah, Hammerstein. Hammerstein was the robot. Now, that was the only good thing about the Dredd film is it had a live-action Hammerstein. I mean, that's just cool. So.
Yeah, Aid is the official British contingent to judge us Americans how we feel about Judge Dredd.
So. Hammerstein.
Hammerstein is just the coolest. It's like a character from another series, and they kind of like said, "Hey, let's bring Hammerstein in there because that'd be really cool." And then it's like, "Yeah, that's cool. Do that. That's fine." And then he's just showed up in all over the place now. So,
he was basically from somewhere in 2000 AD.
He was from he was from Roadbusters originally, and then Nemesis the Warlock, and then the ABC Warriors, which I believe is another thing that's Ian's going to probably look into doing out at some point. ABC Warriors. So. Yay. So, yeah, all good stuff. But, yeah, he was another character that kind of just crept in, and then it is slowly showed up on another series called, oh my god, I want to try and think of it. Anyway, the modern one is like kind of like a modern day tale, which seems to be possibly like a lead into Judge Dredd's world and other stuff for Roadbusters and like ABC Warriors. So all good.
Okay, cool. Hey, just is there going to be, you guys, as we mentioned earlier before the show started, there's a ton of support for this line. If you go to the winrpg.com website, there's a ton of stuff. If you go to the resources tab, there's a ton of tools they've put out for this, from character sheets to building starships, building vehicles, vehicle turn guides, resolve rules for...
Well, it's WOINRPG.com.
Sorry. What did I say?
WIN. There's an O in there.
Sorry. It's all right. Yeah.
He like Paizo has for the PFRD, all the rules are available online in the rules reference document, so you don't even have to buy it to play it. And then it's a ridiculous number of tools.
Yeah, like, well, there's an external generators tab there with monster generators, random character generators, system star system creators, terrestrial planet creators, sci-fi shield.
Wanted posters?
Yeah, like, there's a ton of stuff there.
So much stuff here. I've never seen, like, if I had known the amount of support that was going to go into this, I would have started converting my world settings to this much earlier.
Now, you wrote this system 3 years ago.
Yes, I wrote it very quickly. So he had all the rules for old and new done and ready when he ran this Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And I trawled them very quickly and, you know, sent him that pitch. And then he agreed to it, and then we unlocked the stretch goal. And I was looking at it, and I was thinking, okay, so he's got two books put out, and they're big. And at this point, I was still pretty new in the industry, but I'd seen a couple big books come out, so I knew, like, the production line minimum for something 200 pages where you're getting a lot of custom art orders. You're looking at least a year of development before it's going to come out. So I worked very quickly, and I put down all the rules. I cleared with him and then made sure that it got into the early phases of the playtest. Because another thing that happens with Kickstarter is that people, even if they're like waiting on their rewards, will lose interest in the Kickstarter after it's funded and they're waiting on their rewards until the reward is actually completely done and they get in the mail or whatever. So I didn't want them to get the rules for now to play test 2 years after the Kickstarter ended or a year after the Kickstarter ended. I wanted it to come to them whenever they started to go through the other ones. And yeah, it's crazy because most of the time when I make books, I'm very, very involved through every part of the process. And this, I turned it in and I got some ideas and, like, you know, requests. Like, he wanted vehicular rules, so I had to dig up a copy of Car Wars. And because he was like, I want to like Car Wars. And I was like, okay. So I found one. And the rules are great. But that came in like 3 months after I turned in my original draft, you know, and stuff like that. And yeah, I don't know. It's been really exciting to watch the sausage get made in like a huge core book like this.
Cool. You yourself, what kind of settings do you run with now?
Oh, I got a whole bunch of different ones. The latest one is you play as villains in a world that is predicated to be automatically unjust toward you. So, like, this isn't a venue for me to talk about my settings. I will be moving my superhero setting over here. It's called Hypercore 2099.
Okay.
And it's like, it's cyberpunk, but with superheroes.
Okay.
That's on the docket to move over to now, once he sends me my core book.
Is there any significant rule additions from old to now? Because I have the PDF of new and the actual printed version of old, which I bloody love. So is there anything in now that is completely
different to the system? Yeah. Absolutely. The martial arts, for one thing.
Oh, cool.
I went crazy with the martial arts. So it runs the gamut from like Pancration to Capoeira to Jeet Kune Do.
What is Pancratia?
Pancration is, what's the guy? Alexander the Great.
Do you want me to handle that?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Tagging in, Walt, please.
All right. Pancrase is one of the oldest martial arts on the planet. It was originated in Greece. Alexander the Great was a practitioner. It was heavily used by many of the militaries back then. In fact, there are still camps in Greece that train it today.
And it was mostly just like wrestling and tried to kick somebody in the stomach at the very start of it, right?
Well, in the matches are kind of organized now. So, but there are still some camps that train old school up to and including requiring their people to do like camps where they stay out and live almost paleo in their way that they train and eat and recover from injuries. And it was a pretty brutal martial art back then. And it's, they've tried to keep it true. A lot of these old school camps, Pancration as it's done today is, almost like mixed martial arts in some cases. And they have, big tournaments and stuff like that. So, it's pretty wild stuff.
Well, I literally never heard about that until this conversation. So that's kind of cool. So martial arts is a big part of this game, and that's kind of cool because you don't always see that with RPG systems.
Well, so the way it works is when you make character, it's sort of like Traveler, right? The career system. And okay. You can pick up martial arts as careers. And inside those martial arts, you get access to Chi, which is another part that's part of now. Old has magic, new has psionics, and now has Chi. And Chi is like the super mystical stuff. So if you want to, you know, hit somebody from 30 feet away with your martial arts, so that would be a Chi thing. And he changed a lot of stuff. I originally had a lot of tests involved. He streamlined it, so it's just automatic. And when I originally turned it in, the mutant stuff was meant to be done through the Chi techniques, but he, again, simplified everything. So now there's, I think, 36 different minor mutations you take, and then 36 major mutations you can get, and that's where you get a lot of the super stuff.
And therefore career choices.
Yep.
Cool. That's why I really like the old system, because when you make a character, you kind of like, hey, you pick an origin, which is like, hey, I'm a farmer. Okay, right. And then you go, right, okay, right. Then I trained as a ranger. Then I got put in prison, so I had a prisoner life career. Then I did this. Then you pick, like, five or total, isn't it, for basic five?
That's the suggested one. Yeah. 5 grade.
And it just gives you, like, a character background straight away. You know exactly where that character has gone from day one to day one adventuring. And I really love that. I think it's cool.
And each grade has its own, like, specific exploits, right? So the martial artist ones are, like, you get access to special martial arts moves, like I was saying, the gut kick for the pancreation thing. And grappling, obviously. There's the boxers. We really exhausted every avenue that I could think of for martial arts.
Okay. Really? Nobody talked to me about this. You didn't exhaust every avenue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Walt knows a thing or two.
Did you get access to the core rulebook or
the core rulebook? No, I've been looking over the new rulebook that you were very kind to send along. So it's pretty neat stuff.
And then Gunfu. Yeah, we included some stuff that's not real.
Gunfu is not real.
Which but every role playing game's got a little bit of unrealism in it somewhere along the line, surely.
Well, there's Gunfu, like the equilibrium, like you guys see equilibrium with the Metreon clerics, right? Yeah. So there's that, and then there's also like if you wanted to do more of Chow Yun Fat, where you do kung fu and then guns are incorporated after the fact. That's its own style as well.
Yeah, gun catters are what they call. Yeah, cool.
Okay, well, cool. Well, yeah, I was looking at the book the last few days. It was back in the Alpha Squad section right now, looking at the Eternal Senpai.
And, Alpha Squad! I love Alpha Squad.
You could do a pretty fun Iron Fist campaign with this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Defenders would be within power ranges for... I'd say that's probably more than grade 5. Mm-hmm. You'd be starting off as rookies at grade 5, but by grade 10, you'd be definitely up there.
It really looked to me like this would be good for, you know, either street level Marvel or X-Men. Seemed like where it was kind of pitched.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Now, can you break down for those who aren't familiar with what's old is new? Can you break down the system and kind of give, because it's a dice pool system, correct?
Yes, sir. So you add your attribute, and there are, I think, 8 or 10 attributes. They're pretty basic, like strength, intuition, logic. The special one for this one, like I said, was Chi. And then if you have a relevant skill, you add that to your attribute. And then you compare that to a table, and you get a dice pool. Your dice pool is limited by your grade. So if you're grade 5, your dice pool can't get higher than 5d6. And then when you attack or make a check, you roll that against benchmark DC, which is normally determined by the number of dice. So, like, think averages. So a really easy thing would be 2d6, so benchmark 7, right? And then... if you're attacking, the way you do extra damage is by trading in your dice for certain exploits. So if you want to disarm somebody, that's, I think, 2d6 of your attack dice. So instead of rolling 5d6, you roll 3d6, and if you succeed, you disarm somebody. And it all plays out like that. It's really fast and quick, honestly. And yeah, that's about it. And there are other things you can do to affect it, too. Like, you get a luck pool. And luck can be used to add to a check after the fact. So if you've got somebody who's has no chance of breaking through that door, somebody can, if they have the right exploit, give them their luck pool, or that character can use their luck pool to increase their chances for breaking through.
You know, we should probably come back and GM an actual play scene or two for us so we can get a feel for it, if you're up for that.
I'd be willing to do that. There's a... I think it's called Warped is the name of the actual play for a new game that's on Twitch for anyone who likes streaming games.
Okay. Yeah, we're slowly putting together a Twitch channel here at Banff, but we're not quite ready for prime time yet. So, cool. You've been in the industry for a while. What other stuff have you done you can tell us about?
I've done an awful lot of stuff for Morrison Yimworld. I did some data entry at one point. I converted a couple adventures. I wrote the sequel to Slay a Dragon. It's called Stick a Vampire. It's great. I'm the editor for Eonsider, which is their fifth edition Patreon. There is a What's Old is New Patreon called Eons. I do a column over there for Mythological Figures.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
That is me. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say I've been reading those.
Cool. Glad people are really digging them. I had not expected that, but yeah. I think next is either Thor or Sun Wukong. They're both done and waiting. It's just I let him pick whichever it's going to be.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I have my own settings and stuff, and I will drop it. You can find out about them at mikemiler.com. That's going to be my only drop.
Now, do you guys have any licensed properties that you're chasing? To be a part of new?
We had a pitch in for Warhammer, but we obviously did not get that. It was Warhammer 40K, actually. It was specifically an Assassin Worm game. I was really bummed when we did not get it. They got all the 2000 AD licenses. I have a note that I need to do Space Truckers at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? I took a quick look at the 2000 ADs, and I was like, oh, Space Truckers? But yeah, I mean, that's all open game. And if you are interested in doing something like that, you should contact Ian World. And there's also a creator program if you wanted to get access to, make some 2000 AD stuff like that. It works like the DM's Guild. There's some art resources that you get access to. You can find out about it on rpgnow.com and drivethroughrpg.com.
Nice. The they had that really cool Kickstarter for the Xenomorphs RPG that they did for, what was it, New?
Yeah, Xenomorphs. I don't know if it was specifically was it the alien Xenomorphs?
It wasn't licensed, but I mean, you know, serial numbers were filed off. I mean,
right.
You're playing your favorite space truckers encounters the the monster archetype game. So I mean, that was cool. Are you guys fabricating anything like that coming up where you might be doing like a big campaign for it?
Oh, I don't know. I know there's something I'm supposed to be preparing for Eonsider, but that's all I got.
So you can't confirm or deny that you guys are doing the licensed RPG for the Magnum PI reboot?
I cannot.
I'm hearing a yes. Okay, you heard it here. Special mustache rules.
And if not, Mike, Mike's probably thinking about it.
I'm still trying to lock down that Murder, She Wrote license, man. Let me tell you, Angela Lansbury is a
just
harsh
to shake your reality, though. The actual new Magnum hasn't got a mustache. The guy in the reboot hasn't got a mustache.
No, God, that's, no. What a world! What a world! That is a shame, but.
I can't get the license for something, I just put it on my blog because I don't make any money on my blog or my website or anything like that, and I don't sell any books myself. So, like, what did I do last? Muppets? Like, if
oh, God.
Have you seen the Dan Lucivi art? I know this is a superhero thing, but you guys need to check out the Dan Lucivi art. So this dude made these surreal Pulp Fiction-esque, beautiful artworks of the Muppets. And I wrote Muppets D&D 5e, and I'm going to run like a Roll20 con game where Ernie owes his dealer, and that debt has been kicked up to Elmo the meth head. So Bert's calling all his chips, and he needs people to knock over the First National Counts Bank in order to get some money to pay off Elmo. Yeah, no, I'm super excited.
This sounds like the Happy Time Murders.
Right, and when I can't get a license, I just, you know, because Sesame Street would never, ever agree to anything like that, right?
Well, they're suing the Happy Time Murders, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Happy Time Murders responded with a puppet lawyer.
Which is probably the best way to do that. All right, I think I found my favorite. I found an imager entry for I finished painting my favorite Muppets in noir style. Oh, God, this is depressing stuff. I shoot this into the chat. You show me if you tell me if this is the thing you're talking about.
Share it on the.
Here we go.
I got a bunch of screenshots on my website of the thing.
Now, while we're getting ready for.
No, but I'm going to use this.
That's disturbing. while we're endorsing Muppet. The horrors of Muppets off screen. What were some of the playtests like when you guys were doing this? Did you get a lot of response like this emulates the genre well, or did you get like, hey, we need to tweak this, we need to tweak that?
Oh yeah, he had a huge playtest pool. That was one, like I said, one of the reasons I got in really early. In my games, I always play really fast and loose, and I try not to plan ahead of time. But they definitely felt quicker than when I normally was doing Pathfinder at that point in time, and I was pretty good at doing stuff on the fly with Pathfinder. But you needed to have access to a lot of different resources to do that, right? Not so much the case with now. You just slap a couple quick fixes onto a stat block, and you'd have, you know, a proper high-powered merc as opposed to the security guard stat block that I was using. So, for the most part, the responses were good. The countdown mechanic is probably the best part of now, and I don't know if it gets utilized as well in old or new. So, like, when you die, you get a dice pool based on your endurance, and then you roll those dice every single turn, and whenever you get a six, it comes out of the dice pool, and whenever the dice pool is gone, the countdown is over. And that works for not just death, but like, when are the cops showing up? You know, when does somebody in the bank hit the silent alarm? And pretty much any time where you're the GM and you're thinking, how long is this going to take? You just turn to the countdown dice, and you can base it off their grade, or there's some guidelines on where your countdown dice should lie. But yeah.
So kind of a clock on scenes kind of prevents the analysis paralysis you can get sometimes at the table.
Exactly. Yes.
All right.
And there's rewards for if the players, like, that was one of the other things I liked the way it did experience. So like, there's milestones. So every game, somebody should have some, like, you know, moment that's really important to their character, and they get XP for that. And if the players like do that thing where, because everybody's been in that game where they spend 3 hours, you know, planning this elaborate thing for something that you thought was going to be 5 minutes, they get experience for that. So there's a lot of smart RPG player rewards worked into the mechanics that I appreciated as I read through the stuff that he gave me.
Okay, cool. Looking at your page, I see you have stats for Rick and Morty.
Oh, yes. Yes. I was super excited when they announced the 70 new episodes.
You know, I was at Barnes & Noble the other day because I own a small child. Well, he owns me, and occasionally I have to go to the child section of a bookstore and spend an indecent amount of money. And as I was in denial about what I was doing and putting off going over there, I wandered over to the game section, and there is a ton of licensed Rick and Morty games out now. I mean, all the way from like cool card games, look, they're interesting, to Rick and Morty Monopoly. And you know, if you guys are looking for a license, holy shit, that would be a ton of fun.
Oh my god, yeah. There's a Rick and Morty D&D comic coming out that I think Jeb's...
Oh, that's like the crossover comic, yeah.
Zub's writing that, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Zeb Wells? Holy shit, okay.
No, Jim Zub.
Oh, okay. Jim Zub! We've had Jim Zub on the podcast.
Yeah, get him. Let me know where the hell he got the handle on that. Because I would jump on Rick and Morty. Oh my god.
I would... Yeah, I would jump on Rick and Morty too, but.
And that would work so well for Woen too, because they really do cover the whole gamut.
Sad thing is, I'm literally never at Comic-Con. I'm never doing Coke at Comic-Con, which I think is like key to bonding with Dan Harmon.
There we go. We're never getting any guests on this show again.
Dan's pretty open about his. Yeah, probably right. Sorry, Dan. We love you. All right. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Is there, other than kind of that community creator program thing that going on, is there any talk about having a third party license for, I don't want to say more traditional publishers, but let's say, you know.
Oh, it's publishers. All published under an OGL.
There is one, yeah.
Oh, there is?
I actually have OGL stuff for old out.
What?
Yes, I do.
I didn't know that. Okay, yeah, so.
Two NPC PDFs and collection of five monsters out as well.
I did not know that. Okay, cool.
That's what I'll be using to do HyperCore 2099 when I bring it over.
Yeah, it's a great system, and it's I for my own stuff, I just tried to steer away from, because they promised a bestiary at some point for old, and it's like, okay, so the first thing they're going to convert is probably D&D monsters, so I've tried to stay away from the traditional D&D monsters and make new stuff up. So yeah, don't want to replicate stuff already on the website or possibly coming up in another book. So, but yeah.
Let me see if I can find something. There's a lot of stuff on here that I definitely can't talk about. They've got books coming. I'll say that. There are books coming for this.
There are books coming.
Yeah. Some of them look like they're done.
Just so bad, do we have a We haven't missed the Dread Kickstarter. Has the Dread Kickstarter got a date yet?
Oh no, I don't. I don't know. I don't know. I know that the book is looking very good.
Yeah, because I saw the on Drive4RPG. They just posted a like the first 8 or 12 pages, I believe.
Yeah, and I think you had Dread.
It looks like a Dread. Looks like a decent system. I just wondered when the Kickstarter was.
I don't know if he's gonna even do. I mean, he's almost certainly gonna do a Kickstarter to drive it. Drive sales, because in terms of marketing and sales, it's much like, and they say don't use Kickstarter as a selling service, and you shouldn't, but it is the best way to sell a book, honestly, because you only lose 12-15% off of your gross, whereas if you go on DriveThruRPG, it's 35%. If you use DM's Guild or something like that, it's 50%, and you can do your own like marketplaces, but they're harder to swing.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, Kickstarter's got a lot of advantages as a marketplace that you don't.
We had the guys on from the Dread RPG a year or so ago, didn't we?
That sounds right.
And they had the Dread RPG and the Robot Wars book ready to go. And it's like, okay, have I missed the Kickstarter? Because they were literally saying it's almost out the door. So it's like, yeah.
And that was a year ago. So
it's got to be something like that. Yeah.
I know he was looking the other week for a coder to do like a Judge Dread character generator. I assume he got somebody to do it, and I know he wanted to have it done soon, so that's an indicator. I'll give you that.
Cool.
Well, okay. I'm excited to play around with this and see if we can get you to come back to do an actual play. I am running out of questions. you've really filled this in, and it sounds like an exciting system. What kind of games are you running at home with this?
I ran mostly like tributes to Jackie Chan movies, because that's my biggest inspiration for these. Like, I'm a big fan of most of the guys. I'm not Chuck Norris guy, or I don't like what's that, the fat man with the ponytail, Steven Seagal. I'm not a fan of Steven Seagal either. But otherwise, I've seen pretty much all the decent action movies from the past 50 years, and it was super exciting to get to work on it, because so rarely do my regular interests and hobbies just like directly hit into the work I'm doing for an RPG. It was,
So Expendables? You can do Expendables with the system?
Oh, 100%. Yes, absolutely. Okay. You could do Last Action Hero with this system and a little bit of old.
Really?
Oh, okay. For sure. Yeah. No, it's very versatile. And with the three of these, I can't think of anything you couldn't do.
Boxer.
I'm sorry, boxer?
Kickboxer. 1989.
Yeah, you could do Legionnaire. You could do Red Fury. You could do what's that one with Kurt Russell and he's fighting the communists in Colorado? We even suggested in the book, I think.
Kurt, are you talking about Red Dawn?
Red Dawn, Red Dawn, Red Dawn, Red Dawn. Yeah.
I that would be fun.
Yeah. Like I said, Escape from New York. That'd work.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So why didn't we just call this 90s action movies, the RPG?
Because he was really set on the acronyms.
Okay, all right. So cool. Anything else we should mention about the system or what's going on at Ian Publishing before we wrap things up?
I just remind everybody you can find out more about all of these at woinrpg.com, where all of the rules are free to peruse.
That's woinrpg.com.
Yes.
All right, cool. Walt, any more questions?
Yeah, I could ask questions all day because that's kind of my thing around here. when you guys were fabricating the system and going into this, did you have like a core thing in mind that you used to create it? I know like certain games, when you're thinking D&D, everybody thinks Tolkien. Far sci-fi, you know, usually everybody thinks either Star Wars or Star Trek. For this, was there like, all right, everybody sit down, watch this movie, and let's get this out of the way?
Let me see. I'm looking through my notes. I had Fistful of Chi, one of my first notes, so I knew immediately that I wanted to get that, like, a good mix of Bruce Lee movies and, like, Wild West movies. And then from there, I mean, I think I just watched all the action movies I love most, and took the cool, like, one of the abilities you get if you do the gun fighting on top of Kung Fu thing, like Giant Fat, is you can just have doves fly out from behind you once a scene, right? And it's filled with moments and exploits and abilities like that. So action movies were the number one impetus for this. And I think you can see that if you look at the Alpha Squad people, which show up in through, like, that was one of the other cool things about this. He hired an art house and he had a lot of money to do the art. So there's like a consistent story that you can kind of pull out of just the images if you flip through the book.
Okay, so you mentioned Westerns, which is one of the keywords that makes you go, ooh. Are there weapons going back to the 1800s or is it all modern, was it all modern weapons?
Okay, so when I turned in the draft, I had it pretty simple. I was like, here's a long rifle. Here's a marksman carbine. He went crazy, and there's like 20 pages of guns. Nice. And they do go all the way back to the Wild West, yes.
Yeah, it was like 6 months or 10 months ago, somewhere around there. I saw that he had posted on FaceSpace that he was like, I need to talk to a few experts who know a thing or two about guns.
Yeah.
And he, from what I understand, he grabbed a couple people and really got in depth with it.
He really did. And to make all that stuff, he made tools. And then that's what you find as, like, the extra stuff on the Woolen website, which is because, like, he generated a lot of really awesome content in there. And he took, like, my little toolbox and he exploded it into, like, a hardware store.
Nice. Now the do you have a big do you have a big difference in when you're using one weapon versus another? Say, an 1865 revolver versus using a modern semi-automatic handgun. You know, are there actual like mechanical differences in doing that, or is it just you know this is what the weapon does and this is the damage type that it does?
Okay, so some of the weapons have like higher firing capacities. That you can get around with exploits. So if you're like a gunslinger type careers and stuff, you can take two shots with something that normally you wouldn't be able to do that with. And aside from that, I think it's faithful to ranges and there's good price differentials. And the damage codes change too. So, you know, I think it makes a big difference whether or not you're wielding, you know, a U.S. model 1842 percussion Navy pistol or what's this up here? A Browning HP high power American pistol. So Yeah, but you can get around those exploits. So, you know, if you're just like Joe Schmo and you have a modern day gun, you'll probably get beat by the gunfighter who's got, you know, three career exploits that are all about shooting his firearm, even if his firearm is not as good.
Gotcha. Now, the system is described in a few different places as crunchy. How hard is this for a new player to pick up?
Oh, I'd say it's easier to pick up than Shadowrun. That's maybe like only a knee-high bar, but like, I think anybody who's played any D&D will maybe have a little bit of a time getting their handle around dice pools, but once you do, it's very simple. If you've ever played a dice pool game, you'll pick it up immediately.
Nice. Now, what do you guys have resources for new players who wanna check things out and maybe like a startup or an adventure, something like that?
There is a 12-page preview that came out a while ago, and then there's some sort of quick start. If you troll the Woen RPG website, you'll find a lot of free stuff. And I think the preview for the PDF was pretty beefy too. And like I said, all the rules are on that website. Just go to the rules draft document tab.
It's been usually a pretty common experience that when you get into an SRD, there's really like those are sometimes hard to navigate for, especially new players coming in or somebody just investigating the system.
That's true. The book's way easier to lay out everything.
Yeah. Usually the books, the way they're laid out, you have like a dedicated layout person that says this section has to go here because, you know, this will set up your understanding of this section. Was there any, because you guys have a lot of tools on this website, a lot of tools. Was there anything done for the SRD to say, hey, start here and look at this first?
I think you go in sequential order that you should be all right. I will add that Eric Leifputnam, who did the layout for the Now book, did like an incredible job of planning it out down to where, like, if you're hitting page up and page down and you have it on single view and, you know, 100%, like the passages that you're reading don't extend into fields you can't see, right? So if you're reading down the left column and you hit like a stopping point and you go back to the top of the page, that stopping point is at the bottom of the thing. So there's no continuity loss when you're reading the PDF. It's a really small thing that I only noticed because I make a ton of PDFs, but was genuinely impressed as I went through at his skill with layout. I was a little jealous. I was like, son of a bitch, why hadn't I thought of do shit? Like,
Now, do you guys have in the book anywhere? Do you guys have a big bibliography?
English is not. There's a index in the back, and there's an appendix like with a little kickoff adventure you can do. And Alpha Squad's included, too, so there are pre-generated characters that you can play and tweak as you require.
Suggestions for, like, hey, watch this, and this is will give you inspiration for some of these games?
Oh, yeah, we talk about it all the time. When we talk about the mutant heritage, you know, it's like, this is, you know, very much like the X-Men, or he had a couple other really weird examples. And, you know, this is like the spy people and there are lots of pop culture references in the book.
Nice. Nice. Excellent.
Liberally punned the acronym as much as I possibly could.
Now, what does NOW stand for?
That's my next question.
Good Lord. I'm sure I knew at some point, but I don't know now.
There's that acronym, that pun again.
Yeah. No, I mean, that wasn't an intentional one. It happens all the time. Let me see really quick. Let me check my emails and see, because it should be in the first email I had to him about it. It shouldn't be that hard to find. Boris. Now pitch.
Let's say, because I remember when old came out, it's like, is it old or is it OLD? And if it's OLD, what does it mean? It's like, where is it? Where is it written down? It just tells me what it is. But yeah.
Oh, okay, so well, you don't even know what old stands for?
Oh, I've no idea. No, I got a clue. I just assumed old.
Oh God, this has been bothering me since you guys started publishing books. So come on.
I have a quick double column of like 10 examples of what now is, but they're not like an example of what the acronym means. It might have to remain a mystery until later. I honestly can't remember.
All right, we're gonna have to get your boss on this show because you know this can't stand. Absolutely not. We need to know. Did you have any? Did you have any say in the art direction?
I did. That's where a lot of the Alpha Squad came through, and like I said, it's one of the cooler things because they get to appear in a lot of the images in the book, and so there's like a continual visual story throughout. And I tried to balance it between like, you know, having people of color and having ladies. I think my favorite of them, and I love all the characters, but the Lady Anarchy, which is like a tribute to Casey Jones from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So like she's a vigilante that rolls around with a hockey stick and a hockey mask and like, you know, golf clubs and stuff like that. So he hired a decent art house too. Like all the artwork is amazing. And there are a couple of pieces where he's like, "What?" I'm like, "Why did you bother asking them to give you chip officers? You know, like two cops on a motorcycle." I'm like, "Wait, come on."
Yeah, but it wasn't just two cops on a motorcycle. It was two cops on motorcycles rounding the long winding road around like the the mountain pass. So very, very chip style. Was there a defining style guide? Because like you have. You have very awesomely done images in color, and then you have some in black and white, and then you have some in photos. Trying to explain what somebody to an artist who doesn't know what Kala Priyatu is, I can understand why you had that image as a picture versus like drawing that out because. Unless you know like original Indian martial arts, you're going to have like, what you want me, how long is this sash supposed to be? And he's wearing a what? So was there any choice to like mix images like that? Or you just said, hey, just turn in art and we'll pick and choose from what we want.
He just asked me for an art orders document. I actually have that one. What all did I order? Let's see. I ordered 20 short order pieces and then stuff about like the different the Alpha Squad and the different heritages. So like the lady with the robot hand, because that's one of the things you can play as. You can play as like a somebody who's augmented, you know, a robot eye, robot hand, robot leg, something like that. And then I just asked for stuff that was like very a pulp detective taking cover behind a dumpster, vigilante hastily making homemade explosives. Secret agent in tuxedo fighting with a mercenary on top of a speeding train. And I definitely know that one made it in.
Cool.
So, I mean, some of them he took, some of them he didn't. Some of them there were problems with. Like, I had one where I wanted it to be, like, people sliding away from a broken, like, an airplane crash on the wing as people were firing guns down on them. And I remember that was a problem with the art studio. But, no, for the most part, they took all my orders, which is cool.
Now, did you guys get to actually play at a firing range to kind of see what things did?
Oh, I've never. I have a personal rule against guns. I find them fascinating and fun to be fictional about, but I've never fired one, and I never will. I don't know about him, but I'm yeah, no, I've never fired a gun.
Nice. Anybody else got any questions? I'm hogging.
That's good. It's all learning stuff. It's all good.
I see that you have in one of the things that you can grab, you can have you don't call it a smartphone, you call it a brilliant phone. You dive very deeply into the early 2000s for that image because you have you have the slide out keyboard and stuff like that. Did you have one of those phones?
Oh yeah, I had cheap phones. And when did I finally break down? I think it was less than a decade ago where I finally broke down and got a smartphone. I think it might have been 5 years even.
Nice. Now, how easy is it to jump from old to new to now? And how often do you have to mix them to get the results that you want? And is that going to be an easy trick or a hard trick to master for somebody who's just coming into this game?
I would say that this is easily, and I hack a lot of stuff. So like when I want to do Star Wars, my people are bitches and I'm like, okay, fine. How about we just play D&D 5e and I'll give you this rule set and you read these 10 pages and we can play Star Wars. And that's what we do. this is without doubt the most seamless integration of genres that I've seen in an RPG. So I don't think there's any problem jumping between the two. I mean, if you're going to be having a sorcerer, then yeah, you're going to have to access, you know, magic in old. And if you're going to have somebody who's a psychic and doing more than just cursory telepathy and stuff, then yeah, you're going to need to go get the rule set from new for that. But a lot of the careers are the same. Like a bartender gets a lot of the same exploits in now that they do if they're from the future and they're a bartender in, like, you know, Mos Eisley rather than the, you know, dive down the street from your house. So, you know, I'd say it's virtually seamless.
One of the hardest things that's usually done in an RPG, chase rules, you know, for like, if you've seen a Bourne movie or you've seen anything modern, you always need chases and crashes and stuff like that. We did it with our in-house game, Search and Destroy, and it came out very well. Can you talk a little bit about what went into the chase sequence? And did you guys get to do any demolition derby for our research?
Well, I didn't get to do any demolition derby. I bought a copy of Car Wars, and I read the rules, and I played a couple of Car Wars. But so there's vehicular rules, so if you really want to get into it, you can. And they're great. He was very pleased when I turned in my draft, and the playtesters were all very happy with it. And not very many changes happened between that draft and now that I could pick up on anyway. And then if you want to do it quickly, there's a chase sequence in the little mini adventure, and it's really simple. Everybody gets to act in the chase sequence. Somebody gets to be like mastering the chase. They roll their skill against whoever's chasing them. Whoever wins three first, it's like best 3 out of 5 basically, wins the chase. You know, either your tire gets shot out and you have to stop, or this or that happens and they can't keep chasing you, but the chase ends once 3 out of 5 are won by either party. So it's like everything else with now, it's fast and quick and keeps your mind on the action.
So now you've mentioned vehicle rules and martial arts rules, all I can think of is Cannonball Run with Jackie Chan in it.
Oh my God.
So this is now like the campaign that I'm going to aim for for now.
please tell me you're going to run this as an actual play.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Mix some Knight Rider in there, man. You could have a smart car.
Yeah, that's true. Knight Rider, yeah. Jeez, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. That's good stuff.
You know, when you guys started pitching out some of this stuff, the thing that really hit, kind of punched me in the face was the old TV show Masks.
Okay,
The cartoon from back in the late 80s, early 90s. You know, this would be a fun way to do Masks.
Or G.I. Joe. You could definitely do a really fun G.I. Joe game with this.
Cool. So is that the next thing that's going to go up on the What's Old Is New website is a code name generator?
Oh, I have no idea. Who knows?
Are you going to, now that I've said it, create a code name generator?
I actually made the rules for organizations, which are included in now, too. That's one of the new parts of the rules. So each setting has its own. So each old, now, and new each has their own like world building aspect, right? Old has settlements, I believe. Is that that's correct, right?
It does have some organization rules as well, but yes.
Yes. Well, I think those organization rules are mine. And then new, I believe, had starships, and then there was something else. I think it was worlds. I think it was straight up planets.
Yeah, I think.
And then and then now focuses on organizations and like henchmen and how much you can screw around with an organization before they fight back. You know, like, if you kill 100 of their dudes, do they care? Does it need to be 200 dudes? Does it need to be 12 dudes?
Do they even call them dudes?
Yeah. I think they included the Crimson Sparrows are the one. And you know that line, the Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren? You guys remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Yakuza lady is like, well, you were still, you know, fucking sheep on the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that quote's in there.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Now,
so Dolph Lundgren is really the definitive Punisher, isn't he?
You know what? I never understood why everyone hated that movie so much. I actually thought it was fairly true to the Punisher.
I think it was the daggers. It was definitely the daggers.
It was from what I remember of it way, way back. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's near enough. I mean, there's not much you can get wrong with the Punisher, really. Not as though he's got a power set to duplicate, is it?
There's a lot wrong with the Thomas Jane movie, but it had its moments. The fight with the Russian.
I really like the fan film he did.
Oh, yeah, The Dirty Laundry?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was excellent.
That was very, very cool. The when you're looking at a game like this, I mean, you got so much that you can do with it. How do you not get paralyzed by having like a drowning in choice and what you can do? Is there just a way to just say, hey, just open up the book, pick a movie, and run with it?
That's one route for sure. I would suggest figuring out, like, if you're doing now, I would figure out your shady organization that you want the players to face off against and then see what they make and then tweak your organization and story to fit whatever they're doing. So like if they're all expats with, you know, years in military service, then, you know, have an organization that caters to what they're about. Don't have it be, you know, some elitists, corporate executives that the PCs would be fumbling constantly to, you know, try to circumvent. That would be great if the PCs themselves were all ex-corporate executives or something like that. But yeah, I would tailor your organization to what the players end up picking for all their careers, and then go from there.
Nice. And what upcoming movie do you see that you're going to play now?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I'm actually terrible about upcoming movies. I actually probably want to do American Gods. Sure as hell has to get their next season soon. Does that count? Can I do American Gods?
There you go. Why not? Yeah. Now, would you have to mix old with that in order to kind of get the flavor you're going for?
I think I could probably do it with just the cheese stuff.
And would you have Ian McShane sitting down at your game table?
That'd be awesome.
You know, I think that when we do the Western, we have to include Ian McShane, and he has to say, like, cocksucker relentlessly.
Oh, Gib Mix Now and New do Firefly reboot.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. That could be fun.
You could do Deadpool with this, I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or, you know, the new John Wick. I would say Hail to Artemis, but I hear that kind of sucked, so.
Oh, it wasn't that good?
That's the reviews have been not that great for it.
That sucks. I was kind of looking forward to that. That was kind of a neat shtick.
Yeah. The Incredibles 2.
Yeah. There's wow. First off, there's a Superfly reboot. So
there's something you know.
Just putting that out there. And there's a Jeremy Renner movie about these guys who've been playing Game of Tag for 30 years. Sounds like a fun premise, but I could see how it could go wrong.
Yeah,
not being funny, but that was actually a Monty Python sketch.
See, I think that would—that's like a really funny idea for like about 3 minutes.
Exactly, that's exactly what it was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I'm not sure how you last that stretch it over a 90-minute movie, but all right, well, cool. Anything else before we wrap it up? We just tiptoed over the mile mark. Sorry, over the hour mark.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think this is, now that I've heard more about it, I'm definitely going to investigate the crap out of it.
Now that you've heard more about it.
I'm working for you, man. I'm working for you. But I think that we should definitely get some leverage on Mike and force him. I mean, invite him back to do an actual play or even some character construction.
I've already been thinking about what character I would play, and I tell you right now, it would be a mutant martial artist with the safe who eventually gets to the like a Sifu career. So he has his own little apprentice, and he's going to take the exploit multiple times because his last apprentice died horribly, and Bob is terrified for his life.
Mike, when are we putting this together?
Let's talk after we stop recording and figure something out. So, all right, Aid, anything from you before we wrap up?
Nope, all good. Yeah, sounds great. I'll say I love the other two systems, so seeing the third is always great.
All right, cool, cool. Mike, any closing thoughts?
Thanks again, Amoris, for giving me this gig. It was awesome, and it's been great to watch it grow and become the fine-tuned machine that it is. I don't know. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for having me on. It was nice to meet you all.
All right, cool. And thanks to our listeners, and we will catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.